Chazer a little bit. We'll start from Nun Vav Amir Aleph. Let's see, we'll start with Abba Sikra. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 lines from where the lines get wide in the bottom. The last 2 words in the lines, Abba Sikra. Abba Sikra, Reish Baryon of Yerushalayim. Abba Sikra was the head of the Baryonim of Yerushalayim. As we said, the Baryonim were the people in Klal Yisrael who wanted to go out and fight, and they weren't allowing Klal Yisrael to make peace with their enemies. Barach said Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. He was the son of the sister of Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai's nephew. Habishalach lei. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai sent to him, Tovet sinu l'gaboy, come quietly to me. Asa, he came. Amale, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai said to Abba Sikra, Ad emas avidatu hachi. Now how long are you going to do this for? You're killing out the whole nation with the hunger. There's no food. As we said, the Gemara previously said that the Baryonim went and destroyed that food for 21 years, and he went and burnt it all. They had no food left. Amale, my avid. Well, what do you want me to do? The Amina Luhu Midi Kotile. If I try to do something, even though I'm the leader of the Baryonim, they're gonna kill me. Amalei. So Beitam and Zakkai responded to him, Chazile Tekanta. Lididi, the Apik, Efshah Zahavi Hatala Porta. Make sure, I need to get out of here. Get me out of this place where we are. And maybe that will be a Hatzala Porta. We said, explain, a small Hatzala for you, for Klal Yisrael. Amalei, Nekoit Nashu Chobek Sirei. You should make believe like you're sick. Velesi Kuli Alma Velashalibach. Send out the word that you are sick, and people should be asking, how is the Beichem and Zakkai feeling? How is the Beichem and Zakkai feeling? Va'aisi Midi Sariya Va'agni Gabach. You should get something that has a bad smell, a stench, and put it near you. Velimru Denach Nashach. And then the people are going to say that the Beichem and Zakkai died. And you'll have, it's basically, you're going to lie in a coffin. I'll have something that smells next to him, so there'll be a stench coming out, and people will think that he died. But make sure that the pallbearers, the ones that are going to carry your coffin, should be your talmidim and not other people. Why? Because the people should not realize, they should be miraculous, they should feel that you are light. Because they know that a dead person is very heavy and is not light. So if they're going to pick up the armor and they're going to say, oh, this is pretty light, it can't be a dead body in here, they're going to know that you're really alive and you're trying to sneak out. So he did this. Rabbi Elazar went on one side of the coffin and Bishu went on the other. When he came to the entrance to the entrance of the city, he wanted to leave. They wanted to stab him. They're going to say that you stabbed the rabbi, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. Boy, the mitzvah, they wanted to push him. Amaluhu, he answered, Yom Rabban Dachu. You're going to say that you're pushing around, it's not covered to push around even a dead body. Yechon ben Zakkai, it's not covered. Physically, that they opened it up on Afak, and he went out. Kimatul Hasam, when he got out, Yechon ben Zakkai right away met the person who was besieging the city of Yerushalayim. Omar, Shlomalach Malka, Shlomalach Malka. He said twice, peace to the king, peace to the king. Amalei. So he answered him, Mechayev Shrekhto, you should be Mechayev two deaths. Chabed Alav Malka Ano. Number one, I'm not the king, but Kakaris the Malka, and you're calling me the king. Vesu, Imalka Ano, Adid, Amalei Asalegaboy. And on the assumption that you thought I was the king, so then why took you so long to come to me? You should have come to me right away. And as we said last time, that he wasn't really concerned, that said he wanted to kill him, said, you chayiv misa because you gave cover to me and called me the king even though I wasn't the king. He liked the cover. He was just scared that people would find out that he's accepting cover as if he's the king, and it would be dangerous for him, and therefore he said this out loud, that you chayiv misa. Now the fact that you're tying to me, that I said that I said Shlomo Lach Malka, and you're not the king. Let me tell you something. Even though you're not the king now, you will be the king. Eber Malka, you will be the king. The Lach Malka, because if you were not the king, the Mimser Yushalayim biyodcha. There's no way that Yushalayim will be given over in your hands. The Siv v'Halavonayim ba'adi ipo. That the Halavonai, which we're going to say is talking about Yerushalayim, but Adir with a Gibor Yipo will fall. The Ein Adir El Melech, and the Lashon of Adir of a Gibor is only by a king. The Ksev Ahaya Adir Mimenu. The Ein Levona El Beis Hamikdash, and Levona is a Halavonai by Adir Yipo. Halavonai referring to the Beis Hamikdash. This is not Yerushalayim, the Beis Hamikdash. And Levona El Beis Hamikdash Shenemar Ahara Hakayim Hazev Halavonai. So therefore, the fact that you're besieging it, now the question is, we asked, Lamaisa, he didn't capture yet the Beis HaMikdash. This is still in the middle of the siege, but by the fact that they had no food and there was a hunger and they were dying, it was as if the Beis HaMikdash was already captured. The Ka'amrit, and the fact, Imalka and Amalai Ka'asas the Gaboy Adidna, and the fact that he had a question on me, that if I thought you were the king, what took me so long to come to you? Baryayne the Isban Lai Shavkin. The Bayan and the Adir did not let me go out. So he responded to him, Omalei, Ilu Chavish al Dvash, Shadarkan Karachalah, if you have a jar, a barrel of honey, and there's a Nachosh, a Darkan is a Nachosh, that is wrapped around it, like how you're shaving as a Chavish Bashil Darkan, wouldn't you break the Chavish, the barrel, because of the Darkan, because of the snake? Ishtik, he was quiet. Didn't respond. Kari Allah, Allah Rabbi Yosef, Yitema Rabbi Kiva. This is like a sidebar over here. This is not part of the story here. Kari Allah Rabbi Yosef, Yitema Rabbi Kiva. Meishiv Chachamim Achar V'dayta Misachal. The Chachamim are turned backwards and their Daita are become Misachal, like they become foolish. Because he should have answered. Why didn't he answer? We don't, if you have a jar of, you have a barrel of honey, and you have a snake that's coiled around it, you're gonna break the honey to get rid of the snake? No, you're gonna take tongs, you're gonna get rid of the snake, and you're gonna save the honey. So, the reason why Be'echon and Zakkai wasn't gonna go and destroy anything, that's not the point. You have to try to get rid of the barrier, and that's what he was doing, on the contrary. What did Be'echon and Zakkai try to do? He tried to sneak out, and he was trying to get rid of the barrier, because they were the ones causing the problem. But he didn't answer this. And you leave the chavis shavkin law, so you kill the dark one, you kill the snake, and the barrel will remain, which means the Beis Hamikdash Yerushalayim. Adahachi, this is what we were up to from last time. Adahachi, while all this was happening is back and forth. Asa Priska Allah Miraimi, there was a messenger that came from Rome. Amale Kum, the Misle Kesar, the Kesar died. And the Chashuvim of Rome says that you are now going to be the leader, you're going to be elevated to the king, you're going to be the Kesar. Habasayim chad nisani boyle masayim elachrina loyayo. He had one shoe on at this point in time. He wanted to put on the other shoe. It didn't go. Ball and mishla for the idach. So he figured, okay, you know, to walk around with one shoe on, one shoe not, is worse than having no shoes on. So after he couldn't get on the second shoe, he tried to get off the shoe that was on his foot, and he couldn't get that off. So he's left with one shoe on and one shoe off. Amar, my hai! He asked Be'echon and Zakkai, what's going on over here? What happened all of a sudden? Amar, lay, leitet star, don't be in tzar. Shmua teiva as yelach. You had a shmua teiva, you heard something good, you had good news. Diksiv shmua teiva tidoshen etzim. A shmua teiva fattens the bones. So because you heard a shmua teiva, your feet got fat. So the shoe that's on him now couldn't come off because it got fat inside the shoe and it basically is stuck there. And the shoe that's not on now is too small because both of his feet are fat. Now that's your problem. El maite kante. What should I do? Lasi inish loy misadai tachmine. Relach lechameich. You should have someone who you don't like so much, someone who gets on your nerves, have him come walk in front of you. When he'll walk in front of you, you all of a sudden your bones won't be so fat anymore because you get upset about it. And you're not what exactly the pshat is, how this works. Perhaps it's pshat is that, you know, when you're satisfied with where you are and the good things are happening, Shmua Teva, so your body will, your natural tendencies of your body will get fattened. It will be in a good place. But when you see someone who bothers you, who gets on your nerves, so it affects your whole being. And therefore you lose the good thing, it's inherently a good thing, this tachi etzem, this fattening of the bone. And you see your enemy in front of you, that makes it go away. The chsiv ruach nachativ is burned, that dries out the bones. Aber hachi ayo. So he did this, and then he was able to put on the second shoe. Amalei me'achad dechak misay kule hai, being that you're so smart, Bechem ben Zakkai, kule hai ad idna amaylai asisu l'gaboy. Why didn't you answer me? I asked you a question before this whole thing happened, this last part here, where the messenger came and told him he's the king. Why didn't you answer me? We had a debate. You said, I asked you why didn't you come to me before, and you said, well, I didn't come to you because of the barayim, and I told you because of the barrel with the honey and the snake, and you didn't answer me. So why didn't you answer me? Amalei le'amalach. I already answered you. His first answer was that the barayim are stopping him. Yeah, right. The first question was, he said, why aren't you coming out? If you thought I was the king, then why didn't you come to me right away? So he answered, because the Bayan didn't let me. L'shafkumban, they didn't let me go. I would have come. I also answered you. Then he answered, you're right. You answered me that the Bayan was stopping you. But then I gave you the example with the barrel, and you didn't answer me. Why didn't you answer me if you're so smart? So what is going on over here? Why are we repeating this whole story over here? We went through this already, and now it seems like it's just a repeat. Look, few mefarshim that will give us an insight into what's going on over here. Rashi says that Vespasian, he was asking Bechem ben Zakkai, I see now that you're so smart. I see the fact that you know about the feet getting fat and so on and so forth. So I see that you're a smart guy. So why couldn't you answer me? What happened over here? And Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai said is, I answered you. I answered you is, you're right, I'm smart. But the Bayanim are also smart. That was Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai's answer. You want to know why I couldn't outsmart them? You think I'm smart, so why couldn't I outsmart them? The Bayanim are also smart. And we talk to see a raya that Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai thought he was smart. Mashal doesn't say this, but we talk to see a raya. What's the raya? Because Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, when he gave the idea to Abba Sikra, I'm sorry, it was the other way around, but when we had the idea that Abba Sikra came with the idea that you should make sure to have who should carry the coffin? Only his Talmidim. Only your blessed and Yeshua. Why? Because the Bayanim know that a dead person is heavier than light than a live person. A live person is light. So Rabbi Sikra was telling us already, and then Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai knew that you were dealing with smart people also. So the Vespasian's taina of, if you're so smart, why didn't you come up with a way and forget the Bayanim? He's answering they're also smart. The Ben Ishchai says, unbelievable, the Ben Yehuda. What happened? We have a back and forth more than once. There's a marshal. Then he ever gives a marshal. He says there was once a king who was having a contest of shooting an arrow. Arrow, see how accurate you can be in shooting your bow and arrow. So he drew a target, a big target, and the king, it's going to be the king against one of his wise men. So the king goes and shoots 10 arrows, let's say, and they all get within the circle. We're all in different spots in the circle. None of them hit the bullseye, but they're all within the big circle. We have a big circle and then a bullseye. None of them hit the bullseye, but they're all within the circle. The Chacham comes, and he has a different circle and a bullseye. He shoots 10 arrows. Each and every one miss completely. Do not go in the circle at all, period. But they all hit the same exact spot. Each one, literally, they're all sticking out in the same hole. You got all 10 arrows sticking out. Same spot. So everyone says, oh, the king won, okay, wonderful. A little later, the king is talking to the Chacham, and he says this, I didn't realize you were so bad. He was a little bit of a big shot, we're in the circle, maybe not a bullseye, but they were all in the circle, you didn't even get one in, I feel bad for you. So the Chacham says, you see that I got all of them in the same hole. You know that I know what I'm doing. I didn't want to embarrass you. You're the king. I wanted it to be that you get your covered. I saw what you did. I saw that you didn't get any bullseyes. I couldn't do it and go get bullseye. By the fact that I hit each and every one, literally in the same spot, should tell you, hey, 1 second, this guy really does know what he's doing, and he just did it for my cover. And the king says, you're right. And the king elevated him to a high position because Itaka has the proper covers for a king. Reichen ben Zakkai, he was saying is that if he's going to outsmart Vespasian, he realized that Vespasian had a koyach. Vespasian was now besieging Yerushalayim. He was coming to destroy the Beis Hamikdash. So he says, you're right, I lost the machlokes. And that's what he's answering over here. Reichen ben Zakkai says again, he says, and I answered you that I didn't answer. The answer that I'm answering is that I didn't answer you. You should know it's because of your covet. Do you want to know why I'm so smart? Vespasian is saying is, you're so smart. You didn't answer me. That's the best answer sometimes. Sometimes the best answer is letting the other person win, giving him his covet, and then he'll end up treating you nicely. And as we see immediately after, the Gemara is going to continue, but because Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai doesn't say why, but he basically, he gave him, he asked him, what do you wish, and I will, you know, grant it to you. Let's roll the bite there. So now what happened? We have this part of the conversation is over. Omar Lei Mezel Azlina Vinishafrinim Mishajuna. Vespasian told him, I am going to be leaving and there's going to be another person coming here. I'm going to send somebody else. Now he's the king. Vespasian is now the Kesar. He's the head honcho. There's no, he's not going to be the one besieging Yerushalayim anymore. He's going to send someone else. But tell me, what do you want? Yeah. Tell me what you want. Amar Lei, Beichem and Zakkai said, tell me Yavne v'chachamim, give me Yavne and Chachamim, v'shur shilte de Rabbi Gamliel, and you should give me the progeny of Rabbi Gamliel, v'azvate de maestrin leile Reb Tzadik, and he wanted the doctors for Reb Tzadik. Let's look at Rashi, the first narrow line, ten li Yavne, shloi sachramenu v'loi saharik chachamim, don't kill out Yavne, referring to the Chachamim, the Talmidei Chachamim who were learning. Rosh Hashilted Ram Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel was Mishpachas HaNasi, was from the Nesim of Klal Yisrael. Shaloi Tehargin, you shouldn't kill them either. Shaloi Tichla Shultanis Beis David. He didn't want the Beis David to be wiped out. He says, leave them. Leave Rabbi Gamliel and his family. Give me a doctor to heal Reb Tzadik. If you remember, we discussed Reb Tzadik fasted for 40 years. 40 years before the Churban Bayis. He was fasting and trying to save the Churban Bayis, trying to save the Beis Hamikdash. There shouldn't be a Churban Bayis. And he was a sick man because we said that when he, the Gemara told us that when he used to swallow something, he'd be able to see it in his throat on the outside, the food sticking out, because he was so gaunt because he didn't eat anything. He fasted for 40 years. Because his innards, his intestines got much smaller from all his fasting. And therefore he was not able to eat and he was a sick man. He needed to eat. So these are the three things that he asked for. Now, why specifically these three things? Why did he ask for these three things? So the Maral says that Shekavonas Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai Hoseh Shebez Chus Shloisha Devarim Elu Yishtachu Yisrova Yuchlu HaGoyim Lenatzman. He made a cheshbon. If these three things are saved, it will save the entire Klal Yisrael. Because Yavne and Chachamer means the Koyach HaTeire. Reb Tzadik was the Koyach of Tfila and Tainis. He davened and he was in Tainis for 40 years. Because of their leadership skills, the Nesim of Klal Yisrael. So therefore, they shloisha koyachas elo Yisrael toikif neged hagoyim. And koyach HaTeire, koyach HaTfila, Hashem Yisbaruch, koyach HaShivusim, Shehinam Chashuv Miyosim. So these were the three things that he asked for, that he was hoping that would save Klal Yisrael. Now the question is, the Maral is trying to answer, which everyone asks. Why didn't you just ask if Midrash shouldn't be destroyed? As Pasian said, I am the king now, I am the Kesar. I'm going to send someone else here. What do you want? He asked for three things. Why didn't he ask for the Beis Midrash? The Maral is explaining why he didn't ask.
It was a given that he was coming to destroy, this is what Hashem wanted, the Beis Midrash should be destroyed.
It's an excellent point. That it could be that some of the mefarshim explain, we'll emerge and talk about it in a second, but that you're correct, that he knew that this was supposed to happen. The Beis Hamikdash had to be destroyed, but it doesn't mean every right. single right. detail has to happen.
Right. So, yeah. This is
the Shabbos. Correct. Others say is that's fakir. By the fact, what did the Vespasian tell him? He said, I am leaving, I am going back, but I'm sending someone else here. Vespasian was telling, why would he tell him that? Who cares? He should have just said, by the way, what is this intro? He should have just said this, okay, what can I do for you? What is this intro? So some of the first explained, the intro is the korban is happening. I'm leaving, I'm sending someone else here. That's not the negotiations. There's no negotiation. You want to negotiate, I'm willing to give you something, but you should know up front that that's not the negotiation. Like we have with Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus kept on telling Esther, Ad chatzi ha-malchus. I'm not letting you, based on Midrash, according to the Mepharshim, he's saying, Ad chatzi ha-malchus. I'm going to give you up to half the malchus. That's not for negotiations. What do you want? Tell me what you want, but that you're not getting. That's what Bechlin Ben Zakkai didn't answer it, according to some of them. I mean, the Gemara is going to talk about it, but let's continue the Gemara here. Kari Alar B'Yosef, V'Yitem Rebbe Kiva. So Kari Alar B'Yosef, V'Yitem Rebbe Kiva. We had said before the same lashon of Kari Alar B'Yosef, V'Yitem Rebbe Kiva. Rebbe Kiva was a Tana, Rebbe Yosef was an Amoira. Why does it say the Amoira before the Tana? It should really say the Tana before the Amoira. And then you have the answer, because we're sure Rebbe Yosef said it, we're not sure Rebbe Kiva said it. So even though Rebbe Kiva was a Tana and Rebbe Yosef was an Amoira, we're going to first say the bar that we know Rebbe Yosef said it, and then we're going to go and say Rebbe Kiva. Which we said before, the same phrase that the Rebbeinu Shalom came, that he was Cain, he was a fool. But Yechon and Zakkai did not ask for the Beis Hamikdash. Yechon and Zakkai was scared that there's not going to be such a great, in other words, to get that the Beis Hamikdash won't be destroyed, that is, I'm not going to be able to accomplish. And maybe I can accomplish something, have a porta, something small. This Hatzalah Porta, if you remember, also we just went through that Gemara in the bottom of the Amen, and the Hatzalah Porta, it seems like Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, like you said, really, and I think that's really the pshat, when this whole thing started, and Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai called Abba Sikra, and Abba Sikra says, what do you want me to do? If I try to do anything, they're going to kill me. And Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai said, no, you should try, there can be Hatzalah Porta, there can be a small Hatzalah. So I think like you're saying is, Rebbe Yechon ben Zakkai knew the writing was on the wall. There was going to be a Korban Beis Hamikdash. There was no turning back. It could be, yeah, we always know that I feel a chayr, harva manocha, even if you had a sore on your throat, the Rebbeinu Shalom can always help and you can always do tshuva. But he knew that at this point there was already gzeira that the Beis Hamikdash was going to be destroyed. So that wasn't his tafka. His tafka was to try to accomplish everything else possible that he could aside from saving the Beis Hamikdash. And that was his chesed. He was actually trying to go, head on and say the Beis Hamikdash, that wouldn't have worked. But he tried to have to say the Chachamim, which is the Koyach HaTayrim, like the Maral said.
He had big charat to forgive this until.
Huh?
He had major charat to forgive Yavda. He wanted to come and get him, right?
Yeah.
This was
usually asked for. Yeah, these are big things. Right. He asked, he didn't ask like one person.
Right.
Reb Tzadik seems like the least of them. Reb Tzadik, saving Reb Tzadik, you know, it seems like almost like, because Reb Tzadik so much cared about Klal Yisrael, and for 40 years he fasted in Davin, so he was trying to save him. He was one person. I mean, although Reb Tzadik, we have to realize that the Chachamei Hador are the ones that keep the Klal Yisrael going. There's actually an interesting, nice, Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky, I think he was lived to his 90s, if I recall correctly. So they say he was a healthy man. Came out his whole life, he was a healthy man. And at the end of his life, he got sick. And at that point in time, he had, I guess it was a great-grandchild? I don't know. He had a grandchild or a great-grandchild who was learning in Panovich. And when he heard that his aider, Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky, was very sick, he ran to Reb Shach. He wanted to go to a shach to get a bracha, to say, daven for Reb Yaakov, and I get daven for my grandson. The only problem was because Reb Yaakov was not sick his whole life, he didn't remember Reb Yaakov's mother's name was. This is a grandchild. We're going back 3-4 generations, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to go to ask Reb Shach to go daven for Reb Yaakov then. He didn't know her name. So he went through a whole search. He was calling it all his family members, this, that, and I'm like, no, I don't know. No, finally he tracked down. Her name was Elka. Yaakov ben Elka. He comes running into Rav Shach and tells Rav Shach, you know, Rav Shach says, oh, he knew who he was. He says, oh, how's his aide doing? He says, he's very sick. If the Rosh Hashiva can please daven for him, he says, yep, we have to get up and daven right away for Yaakov ben Elka. He stops. He didn't tell Rav Shach it was Yaakov ben Elka. Rav Shach knew right away Yaakov ben Elka. He says, a little while later, he got the courage to ask Rav Shach, pardon my ass, sorry for asking, I'm Chulis, but how do you know my Zayda's mother's name? You know Yaakov ben Elka, so you're going to daven for Yaakov ben Elka, how do you know? He says, many, many years ago, I met Ruth Reb Yaakov, and I knew that he was the one that's going to keep America alive. Klal Yisrael needed him. I davened for him every day. Every day I found out then his name, and every single day I daven for Yaakov ben Elka. That's why I know his name. You see, unbelievable that we don't realize that the Gadol Hador is what keeps the generation going. We don't even realize that. Rav Shach was the Gadol Hador, no question, and he was davening for Rav Yaakov because he knew Rav Yaakov. The Klal Yisrael needed Rav Yaakov, and he was zeche to live 90 plus. But we needed Rav Yaakov. The koyach of the tefillas are so strong. Maybe that's why Rav Yaakov lived in the 90s. I don't know. So you see, Rav Tzadik was for 40 years. He was fasting, mitainis, and he was davening. That's like a tremendous chus, which maybe what prolonged. It doesn't say. Maybe that's what prolonged the whole korban was delayed for 40 years. Maybe in the chus of Rav Tzadik, he made it last 40 years, and then it just timed up. As Master the Master and later Rav Tzadik continuing the Gemara, Mahi, what was the remedy for Rav Tzadik? Rav Tzadik was sick and he asked for doctors and he was given it. Until he finally was able to eat piece by piece. So basically is that he started him off with a very, very thin liquid with a little bit of something in it, and then he kept on going every single time after he got used to that. Basically it's in stages. You know, you have a baby which, you know, is starting to eat, you know, solids. You don't just give a baby solids. You first give him little pieces in it and then bigger pieces. So first he gave him a water that was very thin until he kept on getting it ready, until porta, it sounds... it sounds simplistic. That's what the Gemara is saying. Yeah. It's a machlokes, but your question is how could he live for 40 years? It says that when the Gemara said in the Amud before that when he ate a fig, it said that he used to take the fig and used to just suck out the juice. And when he ate something, you'd be able to see it in his throat. You'd be able to see the food on the outline of his throat because he was so blunt. That's what it says. The Gemara in Amud Aleph, it says that that's what he used to do, used to suck out the figs. It seems that he didn't eat. And the remedy is he was a very sick man. And the remedy was that you should drink the stuff that has small solids, put in a little bit of flour into the water, put a little of this and that, until you're able to, you know, start eating small pieces of things. Also, you know, this is the next piece. All right, let's stop over here. So if you go to the parasha. Re'ei, Parashas Re'ei begins. Re'ei, Yonoichi Noisei Levneichem Hayoim Brocha Uklola. Many, many ask. Many ask. Re'ei should look, see, is a Lashon Yachid. Yonoichi Noisei Levneichem, Levneichem in front of you, is a Lashon Rabban. Why does the Pasuk start off with a Lashon of Yachid and go to a Lashon Rabban? The Kotzki Rebbe said that the pshat is re'ei. When you have the Torah, the bracha and klola, how do we get the bracha and klola? It's by following the Torah. When the Torah was given, it was one Torah that was given to the entire Klal Yisrael. It was ke'echad, ke'ish echad, b'leiv echad, one person. The Torah came from the Bnei Shalom to Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael. But anoichi noisim lifneichem hayoyim. Each person on his own madrega, then it goes into individuality. Every person is a rabbin. Every person has what to take out of there. It says in the Zohar, Yisrael, the Rosh HaTevis, Yesh Shishim Ribe Isis Batera. There are 613 mitzvahs later, Yisrael. There are 613 Oisius in the Torah. Keneged, the 613 in Klal Yisrael. 600,000 school, I'm sorry. Yeshisha Rebrae. 600,000. 600,000 in Klal Yisrael. The 600,000. Every person in Klal Yisrael represents one Ois. Each person has an identity in the Torah of Klal Yisrael itself. And that's why it says, you should know, Torah came to Klal Yisrael as one. But each one has to work on extrapolating what he's supposed to do with the Torah, how he's supposed to act. Not everyone's supposed to do the same exact thing. That's actually it in the class. Some Sefer says that it's teaching us that each individual should know, you can have an effect on the entire Rabban of Klal Yisrael. We know, getting into El, we know that the person, every time he has an opportunity to do a mitzvah and aveira, he has to say is, if he does one mitzvah, that's chatzi chayev, chatzi zakeh, there's a half the world, there's a half mitzvah, and it's exactly equal right now, the scale is perfectly balanced. If you do one mitzvah, the whole world is going to be zchus because of you. And it's chatzi shalom, you do one aveira, the entire world is going to be chayev. So the pasuk is telling us this, he said in some sefer, says, re'ei, you should know on an individual level, each and every one of us can have an effect on the whole entire world. You have to be cognizant of that. Person shouldn't think, who am I? I'm one person. There's so many other people. Let them do the mitzvahs. The world will keep going, and I don't worry about me. No, re'ei, each person has a shaykhus. It says in the Vilna Goyim, he says, re'ei ameichi noisein lefneichem hayim. Noisein is a lashon hayver. Why did it say a lashon hayver? It should say nosan. Re'ei ameichi nosan lefneichem. I gave to you, this was the giving of the Torah. I gave to you today, brachu klala. He's saying, he's noticing that each and every day, each and every moment, it's a constant giving. Everyone has opportunity to get bracha now or get klala now. A person shouldn't think that, what I did last year or yesterday or 10 minutes ago, I did an aveira, or for that matter, I did a mitzvah. I'm good now. I'm on a good streak over here. Don't worry about it. No. Every minute, a person always has the same, everyone has the opportunity to take bracha, or he has an opportunity, chas v'shalom, to take klala. Perhaps we can tushdel this yisayit over here, of a rabbin to a yachid, what we're discussing in the Gemara. But we said again, this hatzala porta. There are times that Rechem and Zakeh could have said, for me to accomplish saving the Churban Beis Hamikdash, I can't do it. It's not going to happen. For whatever the reason, we discussed various reasons why he won't be able to do it, be it because the Vespasian was saying is, it's too late, I'm not giving you that option, and we're going to surround the city, I'm sending someone else, or because it was Gzar Din already, whatever it is, Rechem and Zakeh didn't give up. He called in his nephew Abba Sikra, the Rosh Bayonim, he says, let's try something. I don't have to accomplish everything. There's many things out there that a person can do. There's lefneichem. There's thousands and thousands. There's myriads of mitzvahs and opportunities for us to do good things. Re'ei, take it on an individual basis. Don't think you have to accomplish everything at once. There are times that a person thinks that, if I can't do everything, if I can't be a gadol hador, if I can't do everything right, then I'm not going to do anything. Take the small things even. Re'ei. Take the individual, the singular mitzvahs, the things that you can grasp onto, the ones that you can grab onto, the ones that you can accomplish, that also has a shaykhus, that also is accomplishment, and that's the Hatzalah Porta. And that's what the Pasuk is telling us. Re'ei anoichi noisen lefneichem hayoim, bracha uklala. If you want to get bracha, you want to get klala, it goes in steps. It doesn't jump. It says in the Noram Alinoach, the Gemara in Bracha says that when a person davens, if a person is in Chutz Laretz, he should daven towards Eretz Yisrael. When he's in Eretz Yisrael, he should daven towards Yerushalayim. When he's in Yerushalayim, he should daven towards the Beis HaMikdash. When he's in the Beis HaMikdash, he should daven towards the Chutz Laretz. Effect the name of the Melech. Why doesn't it just tell us, daven towards the Chutz Laretz? What do we have to this whole thing here? Daven here. Tell me once, that's it. Everyone face the Chutz Laretz. So Neil Melch says, is because a person has to know in Ruchnius, it goes step by step. If you're on the Madrega of Chutz Laretz, don't face the Chatsha Kachin yet. It's not going to happen. Face Eretz Yisrael. Try to go one Madrega. When you get to Eretz Yisrael, now you're in Eretz Yisrael. We're talking about Madregas and Ruchnius. Now face Yerushalayim. When you get to the Madrega of Yerushalayim, you should now face the Beis Hamikdash and so on and so forth. It goes in the Madregas. Each of us have the opportunity, one by one, take small things. You have to take it. We're coming to El. Next week is El. El is the time for Kabbalah. Not a huge Kabbalah. Not something that we're not going to be able to keep. But to take a small Kabbalah, each one, every year, every time we can, take another Kabbalah, which will build up, which we zeichet, to see. They're building the Beis Hamikdash from Hebi Amen. Amen.